Hey everyone, this is Liz from MediaDev, and today I am joined by Tristan. Hey Tristan, how are you today?
Elise, I'm great, thank you. And you?
I'm good, thanks. So Tristan is the head of our sister company, Ylog, who is a bespoke application developer, and today's topic is understanding the essentials of augmented reality. So I'm really excited about our topic today. So, Tristan, I think most of our listeners today already have some understanding about augmented reality or AR as we commonly refer to it. But could you give us a quick explanation of what AR is and why it's important to businesses?
Sure, yeah, augmented reality. Basically, it's a technology that allows users to enhance their experience of reality by adding new elements on top of it. So generally with the use of a smartphone, but it can also apply to other type of device like smart glasses, for example. And in a way, you can see it as a more immersive way to interact with your environment or even with yourself, with filters, for example. And it's not to be mistaken for virtual reality, which is a bit different, and I think yeah, we will get a chance later on to review the main differences between augmented reality and virtual reality. And for your second question about why it is so important to businesses, but there are actually many reasons why it's important, but I'm gonna focus on two of them. First of all, it's an amazing new way to create engagement and offer new ways for end users to process their surroundings, to interact with all sorts of elements around them and on them as well, to get access to new information. And on top of this, it's a fun way to use technology. An example relating to businesses and why AR can be important to them, it can really bring a spotlight on your brand. So I'm thinking, for example, a while ago, there were some brands that really got traction with their AR apps, like Sephora and L'Oréal. They made some cosmetic augmented reality application. You have, basically it's some kind of app where you can visualize in real time like what a makeup will look like on you, or what a different hair color will look like in real time with your phone. You also have like Adidas or Gucci. They made also pretty cool apps to try like shoes or clothes in real time, and even IKEA. That we all know for the easy to assemble stuff and their meatballs, but they also get some traction when they release a furniture app. And basically, it allows you to inside your living room with your phone to display a new table, a new chair, or new furniture, and to see in real time what it will look like. So, for all these reasons, it's a very important new way for business to get traction. And also, a second reason that's important to mention is that it's a very accessible technology. Now we witnessed during the last 10 years this huge technological bump where now virtually everybody has in his pocket this super powerful computer, which is a smartphone. It became cheap and it's allowing pretty much everybody to enjoy the capabilities of augmented reality. So it's a technology that's already mature on this device at least. And that people are already using on a daily basis. And what's also quite exciting about it is that the situation now is already in a way that it's a very accessible product, but it's just the beginning. And in the next 10 years, we're also gonna see the emergence of new devices that will bring the augmented reality experience even further, with like smart glasses or smart displays in cars and so on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to those smart glasses, I'll tell you. So, what are some common uses of AR? I mean, you touched on some, but what are some other uses of augmented reality?
Well, but for the most common uses, there are two or three that will sound very familiar to everybody, I think, and that are a good reminder also that AR isn't at all some obscure technology, and it's already pretty much in everybody's lives. The first one, it's filters, like on Instagram or in Snapchat. Basically, it's like the most common way to use AR. It's gonna add additional visual information, such as a hat or a dog tongue or some reshaping tool for your face, and it's gonna enhance the reality of your actual face at a given time. So I think it's something like, pretty much everybody knows how this filter work. Another one I cannot not talk about is Pokemon Go. So, you know, it seems a bit old already, but there used to be a time where you had like dozens of millions of people in the world wandering in streets with their smartphone in actual streets to capture virtual Pokemons. And I think it's one of the things that really made AR mainstream and easy to comprehend for virtually everybody. And a third use, it's QR code. So in itself, QR code is not exactly an augmented reality use case, but the flow is pretty much the same in the way that, you know, you scan your surrounding reality. There is this trigger that will generate an event. In the case of QR code, it's usually to open a website. And it works, you know, practically in the same way as augmented reality. And there are actually use cases of QR code today that are pure augmented reality. Like Amazon, they released, I think it was end of last year, they released this Amazon augmented reality app. And it was allowing people to just point their phone at the QR code on the, you know, the box of their deliveries. Mm. And then it will display some animation like... there was a dog thing, there was a thing with a pumpkin, because I think it was released around Halloween time, and so on. So these are three very common and mainstream uses. Common because, you know, it's entertaining, it's kind of fun, but also it's important to point out that there is way more to AR than just adding a dog filter to your face or capturing a Pokemon in your garden. And especially when it comes to actual business or professional application for such applications.
Yeah, excellent. And that leads me to my next question, which is why are more and more businesses interested in exploring implementing AR solutions?
Well, I think it's, again, there are many explanations to this, but I would say that, first of all, it's no longer a niche technology. It's a technology that's already mature, and yet it still somehow feels new and exciting for users. You could say it's also democratic, quote-unquote, and cheap. Because smartphone, you know, when you consider the power of smartphones now compared to what we had in computers like 10 years ago.
I know, it's amazing.
Cheap, and it's, yeah, it's really a huge leap forward. And also, more importantly, it's really adding value in the way it enriches the experience on the end user side. And you're asking why more and more business. So if we consider also the times we are living in at the moment, you know, especially with the whole COVID pandemic stuff and the new way we interact with things, a technology like augmented reality can prove very useful because, like, for example, you can visualize things without actually having them. So, you know, let's consider a use case where you are doing online shopping with augmented reality application. You can try clothes. You can try makeup, you can try a hairstyle, you can try even a tattoo, you can try all sorts of items on yourself without having to go to an actual fitting room and trying actual stuff. And so it's a way to not expose yourself to, you know, additional risk and still allowing you to shop as you used to. You can also try, yeah, like furniture for your living room, a wallpaper, a new table. There are many ways to do all these things with a very limited hassle. All you need is your smartphone. It's a way also to, you know, alter or hide your reality. So there is one example I think many of us grew familiar with it lately. It's when you are doing a Zoom call, for example, and you want to hide your background because, I don't know, your kids are playing or there is something that you don't want your clients or colleagues to see, you can add a virtual background. And it's another application of augmented reality. And lastly, it's also a way to interact without touching. And I see, for example, for us here in Manila, but I think it's pretty much the same everywhere. Like, if you go to a restaurant now, or if you go to any place, basically, everything you will do to, you know, to interact with the place, like reading a menu, filling up some kind of health form or whatever, all these things are done now using QR code, sometimes using augmented reality. And it's a way also to limit contact with your environment and to replace it with, you know, virtual interaction through your phone.
Sure. And I know, too, that a lot of other businesses practices now as well, you know, since they can't intervene physically, you know, to check a machine or to train somebody or, you know, to have interaction with sites that are far away because they can't travel, they're also able to tap into that AR technology. So, yeah, definitely, I think we're going to see it more and more over the next few years, like you had mentioned. So without going
even
into...
for this, you know, it's actually a very interesting example you are pointing out. You know, I was talking earlier about the fact that smartphones are the most common use of AR application, but in some very high-tech or professional environments, there are already like smart glasses being used by professionals, and it's actually what you are describing. It's people who, you know, with the use of their smart glasses, they can interact with, you know, elements of their jobs, like if somebody, some engineer is working on fixing some, some engine or some very complex machinery. But sometimes you can have application that will in real time process information about it, like tell you, I don't know, what type of material it is, how it should be used, in what way you need to interact with it. Maybe you need to be very careful about something because it's going to be extremely hot, or maybe you have to manipulate it very gently. And in some other ways, some even more advanced use case involves the use of, you have, like, let's say you have a person A using their smart glasses on one hand, and they are facing a difficult situation, like, let's say fixing an engine or, I don't know, like diffusing a bomb. And on the other hand, you have person B. So this person will see in real time what person A is doing, and person B will be able to assist by drawing, for example. You know, so person B, right. B will see that there is an engine, and they will be able to say, okay, I'm going to circle this part because it's the one you have to manipulate. I'm going to show this cable, and I'm going to draw a line on it to highlight that this, it's the cable you have to cut. And it's a way to basically to break the distance between A and B, and to make sure that we push the way we interact together to a whole new level. And there are many actual professional use cases involving this kind of technology at the moment.
Sure, and it makes it so much easier for the user because then they know exactly what to do. When you're just explaining something over the phone and saying, okay, well, what do you see in front of you? It's very difficult then for somebody to explain that. And if they can just see what the user is seeing, and like you said, circle apart, well, push this button right here. That makes it a lot more efficient. So without going into too much detail, you know, technical detail, how do AR solutions work and what's required in order to build a custom AR solution?
Okay, so yeah, here again, yeah, we try to keep it simple, but basically, first of all, you need a device with three components to enjoy augmented reality. You will need a camera to analyze your surrounding reality. You will need processing power to run an application and to process and generate information. And you will need a display where the reality that was captured by the camera will be like overlaid or superimposed with additional information. Once you have this device and the application, you have to think of the application as following a very simple flow. So you need a trigger. For example, it could be like if your phone recognizes a certain image or a certain item, or a certain shape, or a certain color, or a QR code, or it can also be if you are in a certain location at a given time, or it can be a combination of these triggers. But once you have these triggers, you can define events to display, like a textual information, a visual element, a 3D animation, or stuff like this. And basically, once you have this kind of application following a flow where you have a trigger and an event, and once you have a device that can process all these things, you have all you need to build an augmented reality application. And so today, most common use cases are based around the smartphone, because the smartphone has all these three things. You have the camera, you have your processing power, and you have the display, which is your screen. But there are also new ways and more innovative ways to actually enjoy an augmented reality app. Like you have smart glasses, as we discussed earlier. And there are, like I was telling you about some kind of remote assistance use case. But I was reading an article about some actually very you know, like very innovative way to use this kind of smart glasses in a setup where it was limited to a small eyepiece. It's used in some military application, and basically, for example, you have soldiers. They can wear this tactical gear with one eyepiece, and they will be provided with real-time information, such as you know, like a map, their location, a label distinguishing between you know, some friend and some foe. It can be combined with advanced intelligence to also recognize like a dangerous behavior. You know, maybe there will be a gun, or maybe there will be something that can trigger an alert. And it's something that's not yet very mainstream because smart glasses are still not really commonly used, but it's definitely something that's coming up pretty soon. And another one, it's like smart displays in car. So again, it's pretty experimental and expensive at this stage, but there are already augmented reality application for cars where, you know, there will be an additional layer of information added on top of what the driver sees. And the application will process all sorts of information. So again, like what the camera of the car will see, the speed of your car at a given time, the coordinates, etc. And the application will provide you with real-time information, such as, I don't know, maybe there is something dangerous 100 meters ahead on the road. Maybe it's going to remind you that there is a speed limit where you are. Maybe it's going to show on the road like the trajectory you have to follow if you want to get to from point A to point B. So it's another less common use case, but that's really going to become a big thing in the coming years.
Excellent. Yeah, sounds super cool. So what is the difference between augmented reality and virtual reality? I think that some of our listeners may not understand the, you know, the difference between the two. And you said, you know, early on in this conversation that it's important not to confuse them. So maybe you could touch a little bit on that.
Yeah, it's a good point. But basically, augmented reality, you have to see this technology as something that does not isolate you from the reality. So it still requires the first layer, what you see, on top of which more information will be displayed. And it's why the name itself is pretty self-explanatory, because it's really augmenting your reality with more information, more data that you can process, more ways to interact. On the other hand, virtual reality, it somehow isolates you from your environment. So the goal is to give you the illusion of being somewhere else. And in order to enjoy virtual reality, you need to wear like a special kind of gear, like a virtual reality headset. And this kind of headset, it's going to block your sight, and it's going to display in front of your eyes this kind of very immersive screen or slash experience. And basically, it doesn't matter where you are when you use virtual reality, you will experience something completely new and separated from the actual environment you are on.
Yeah, I remember doing that in the office last year with the headset on, and all of a sudden I was in some kind of combat against a big giant, and I had a, you know, this big kind of stick that I had to try to hit him with, and it seemed like all of a sudden I was transported into this completely alternate universe. So yeah, it's interesting, and definitely very different than from the AR experience that you've described. So what are some constraints of working with AR technologies?
But basically, for the constraint, we talk about the actual like hardware constraints and some limits. You know, like for example, when you want to have a AR actual use case, it needs to be comfortable, it needs to be easy to use, it needs to be something that feels natural. And for example, you know, smart glasses, there was an attempt in a few years to kind of make smart glasses reach the mass market, but obviously it didn't really succeed. It was too early, didn't really take off because back then the hardware was, you know, it was not really ready for that. It was too bulky, it was overheating, it was not really comfortable to wear, etc. So there are constraints related to the actual hardware that will support your AR application. But if we put the, you know, the like practical things aside, I think one thing that's really important to consider with AR, it's the actual way you use the technology. So the technology itself, it's something that works. It's something that's mature. Now you have something that works, but you have to actually make it work in your favor. It's not just about using it for the sake of using it, or because it's something trendy, or because some other brands did an app. You really have to find some actual way to improve your end user experience. Because if it's just for the gimmick of it, or because it's something new, once the wow effect is passed, your users are going to stop using this kind of apps. So to me, I will say that the main constraints with AR technology, if we put aside as a device part or the hardware part, it's really about the idea itself and the way you want to bring a significant and meaningful change to your users.
Excellent. So what are the steps that someone needs to take if they want to develop an AR solution?
Well, I would say that the obviously, the first step, it will be to understand, you know, how the technology works, or at least to partner with people who do. So, you know, once you have a clear understanding of what is possible, what is not possible, or once you can benefit from the experience of people who know how it works, and they can bring you new perspective or ideas about, you know, what to do, what to bring to your user, I think it's already a major first step forward. Then once you have done this, the second step to me will be to define the idea. You know, what experience do you want to bring to your user? What kind of engagement you want to create for them? What kind of value you want to add in their life with your product? And basically, if you can describe the experience your user will get, half the job is already done. And then once you have done this work of, understanding and defining the idea, you have to implement the idea. So maybe it's part of your job if you have some in-house team specializing in AR app development. If not, it's important that you find a partner who can accompany you and turn your idea into a nice and well-designed application. And usually, to get a bit more practical, but you will need a mobile dev team. Because usually it's, 99% of the time it's still smartphone applications. And a team of, designer who can model 2D or 3D assets. And by combining this mobile app with these 3D or 2D assets, you can you have the main ingredients to actually bring something exciting for your users. And then a last step, once you have done these things, it's also, it's important, but it's the same for most IT projects, but you have to keep improving it. So an AR application, much like any other type of application, is something that needs to evolve during its life cycle. So maybe you will get some useful customer feedback. Maybe you will want to keep adding new features. But usually, it's important to make a first release, to see the reaction, to adjust, and to release again a better or a more exciting version yet, and to keep building on top of it. So yeah, that's basically the steps I see for people who want to develop the AR solution.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for all of this information today about AR. Of course, for those who are listening who are interested in exploring this in more detail, you can get in touch with Ylog and check out their website at ylog.com. And for more exciting podcasts, videos, articles, and guides, you can check out our resource library at mediadev.com. So thanks so much, Tristan. Really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, but thank you, Liz. It was an interesting discussion.
Super. Take care.
Yes, thanks. You too.
Bye.
Bye.